it's a pair. All right, let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 19. Proverbs, of course, is a book that just has one thought after another. It's not something that has a long context in the writing, and every verse nearly has a thought, and so actually you could probably preach for ever out of the book of Proverbs, because almost every verse can be a sermon. And today we're going to look at the 27th verse in Proverbs 19. It says in Proverbs 19:27, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." And so here in this book of wisdom, this proverb is calling for us to use censorship and isolation in our lives concerning things that we listen to and hear and knowledge. We have in America, of course, the laws of free speech, and those are kind of dwindling. But there's a good part about that, in that we can still preach the gospel. But there's also a bad part about that, and anybody can say whatever they want, and philosophies and ideas are rampant, false philosophies in America. And here in this proverb, we're instructed to cease from hearing those things which err from the word of knowledge, and that would, of course, be that err from the word of God. David, in that great Psalm 101, I believe, he said, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person." And the reason for that is that he realized that those were going to affect his home, they're going to affect him, the thinking and the words and the discourse between them was going to be detrimental. We do live in a very evil generation. We have anywhere from abortion to evolution, divorce to sodomy, transgenderism, animals having rights today, and we are so far removed from what even the old common farmer knew 200 years ago, that abortion would be wrong, that a man to change his sex would be wrong, and all that is tolerated today, and it's promoted, and in fact, those that would stand against it are demonized. Nevertheless, God's word says here that we are to cease to hear, cease my son to hear the instructions that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. And so it instructs us about censorship and isolation, about from false philosophies and ideas that go contrary to the word of God. I want you to look a little bit here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's a chapter, of course, on the resurrection. But in the middle of that, he makes a statement in verse 33, and it says this: "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners." That word communication is from a word in the original Greek, homilia, and whenever a preacher gives a homily, it's a teaching, but it's more than just preaching in the pulpit. It's a discourse. It's a words that's being exchanged. It's a communion and companionship, and he's saying here that the discourse or the talk or the fellowship together and ideas are being passed about, that when it's evil, in the context of going against the Word of God, when it's evil, it corrupts our lives. And so it's simply a warning that we need to be selective and we need to be on the lookout about what we hear and what we allow to be said, that we would give an ear to consider. Solomon said, "He that walketh with a wise man shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And so let's go there back in our text in Proverbs 19:27, and just kind of break down exactly what it says. Again, in verse 27 and 19, it says, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge." And so our proverb doesn't just forbid being corrupted by false instruction, but it forbids even listening to that which is contrary to the Word of God. Not even supposed to consider it. Not even supposed to listen to it. There's no toleration for it. The psalmist said, "I hate vain thoughts, but the law do I love. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." The Bible addresses many things, and the things that it addresses, and the Bible speaks in many passages with great clarity, the majority of it. Some things are need to be studied at depth. But what the Bible says can be understood with clarity. And when the Bible has made a statement, then that's the final end of the discussion. It ends with the authority of the Word of God. That this book, we're going to have to come to a place sometime to understand whether or not we believe that this book speaks with clarity and that this book is an authority. And that this book is, there's 100% absolute truth in this book. Now, that's up for debate in many places today, but there is no debate about it. And in fact, in the end, people are going to be judged by this book of absolute truth. And so, he here is instructing us to watch. We used to sing a little song in Sunday school, "Be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where they go." And then it would go, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear." And we need to. It's simply a proverb here telling us that we need to cease to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. And so Paul warns about a lot of things. That TV show that teaches error should be shut off, or best used for a teaching illustration. I mean, I remember years ago, even there was a seemingly a very innocent show called Grizzly Adams on television. But you know, it was teaching evolution, and it was teaching a lot of concepts that go contrary to the Word of God, very subtly. And if you look at our society today, Satan's not stupid. He's not just going to drop a bold error in front of you, but very subtly he begins to introduce things that break us down. You know what's wrong if a person wants to be a homosexual? What's wrong with transgenderism? And in fact, to deny that, it would be to be very mean and unloving. And so some TV shows maybe need to be shut off because of the teaching that's behind it. You just need to be discerning. There's been expression among preachers for many years that they say, well, you need to eat the meat and spit out the bones. you're eating a piece of fish, you know, you eat the meat and spit out the bones. And that, what that's saying is that, you know, I realize that this guy is not, this commentary I'm reading after, or this person I'm listening to preach, that he has some error, but I'm just taking the meat from that error. But if you're not careful when you're eating fish, you know, when we ate fish at home when I was a little boy, every time we ate fish, we always had mashed potatoes. And the reason for that was there was a possibility for a bone to get stuck in your throat and you were going to try to push it out with mashed potatoes. Well, listen, when you are listening to error, it could get stuck in your throat. I've known guys, it seems like in ministry and commentaries, some of the best commentaries with the deepest study are by Calvinists. And if you're not careful, you're going to read after that person to the point till you become a Calvinist. Because he has a way of teaching that seems to be reasonable. But it's not. It goes against the scripture. And I'm just saying that Proverbs is saying, listen, those things which would cause you to err from the words of knowledge, if they cause you to err from the Bible, then you need to be very careful and you need to stay away from that. And so, enough said there, I guess. Fathers are instructed here, particularly, cease my son. And so we have the duty and the obligation to shield our children from false teaching. Now, I'm just going to be pretty blunt here, and seem like I'm known for being blunt around the world. But if you're sending your children off to public school, you're violating this scripture completely. Not only public schools teaching that which would err from the words of knowledge, they won't allow the words of knowledge even in the school. And I've seen here in our area people from other churches who homeschooled their children, and they got to a point where they both wanted to go to work and make more money, or you know, it's not easy to homeschool. It's hard. And in the end, they lost their kids to the world. Because there's a depth to this that we need to grasp, that you cannot hear and give an ear to consider a false teaching and it not affect you. In fact, I think I could make a case from Scripture today very easily that false doctrine always, always produces sinful behavior. That's the product of false teaching, is sinful behavior. And so God's word is teaching us to isolate ourselves and to censor ourselves, not to isolate ourselves from the world and not be witnesses, but just to isolate ourselves and say, I'm not going to listen to that junk. Sometimes people will recommend a book for me and they'll say, that's a good book, you know, or this commentary, and I'll read that. I'll start reading it, and I get to a point where sometimes they're all good, but I get to a point in some of them where the guy, what he's saying is totally off the wall, and what he's saying is heresy. And so I just throw it in the trash. Because if he can be wrong in that issue, how can I believe any of the other stuff he's trying to say? And so we need to stick to the Word of God. Now, how should censorship be practiced in our lives? We have a Solomon here way back centuries ago. And what about today? Well, Let's look over in 2 John, there toward the end of your Bible. In 2 John 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And so it's very, very pointed that when someone comes to your house, someone that you are around, someone that wants to converse with you, someone that says, you know, I'd like to take you out to eat, and I just want to talk to you about some things. And they begin to spill out of their mouth those things that are contrary to thus saith the Lord. This passage tells us that there ought to be some censorship. And it says, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. To say, you know, may the Lord bless you, may the Lord go with you, praying for you, whatever. Because he says here that when we entertain and listen to that which is an heir to the word of knowledge, then not only have we opened ourselves up to it, but we are here in this passage says that we're partakers. We're encouraging him. And what needs to happen is say boldly to them, I'm not listening to this junk. What you're saying is wrong. Because not only is what they're teaching, listen, what the Jehovah Witnesses are teaching and want to bring into your house is not only wrong, but it'll destroy those who believe his eternal destiny and they'll end up in hell. What the Mormons are teaching when they come to your door and want to have Bible studies with you is wrong. And you can't, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be prepared to witness to them, but not everybody's prepared to witness to them. And to let them speak, the words do have power. And thoughts do have power. And he's simply saying here in Proverbs that we're not to hear the instruction that would cause us to err from the words of knowledge. Look over in Galatians chapter 1. Paul, of all the epistles of Paul, this is the only epistle that Paul doesn't commend them. He usually starts every epistle out by saying something of praise to them. And when you get to Galatians, Paul just jumps in with both feet. And he says in verse 6 of chapter 1, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel. What they were saying, that the Galatians had been influenced by the Judaizers in their teaching that yes, you needed to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you also needed to be circumcised. And Paul says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. And so he says it's not another gospel because it's not the gospel. And they're perverting the gospel. And then he says this, but though we, someone from my team, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel to you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, I know that we live in a day when we want to get along. But Paul says here that if they're preaching another gospel, they're cursed. I'm going to probably get this later, but let me get it now. If a person teaches that you need to trust Jesus Christ, but you need to be baptized to be saved, that's another gospel. And there could be some Church of Christ people that are saved, but they're still teaching you need to be baptized to be saved. You don't need them hanging around your people. You don't need them hanging around your children. The Nazarene people seem to be very separated, Nazarene church. Some of the Pentecostals seem to be separated. But you go over to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it talks about the gospel, how the Christ died for our sins. But it says it's a gospel wherein we stand. It gives us a standing with God, which is a permanent standing. When the Nazarenes teach that you can lose your salvation, when the Pentecostals teach that you can lose your salvation, it's another gospel. And it needs to be eliminated out of your life. You don't need to have other people hearing that. And I'm going to go a step further. When Jack Hyle's crew teaches that you don't have to repent of your sins, and you don't have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord in the process of salvation or the point of salvation, it's another gospel. It's not the gospel of the Bible. And you can't hang around that crew and it not affect you and it not affect your people. But there has to be godly sorrow that works repentance. And we all understand that. I'm not teaching out of class here at all today, but when this guy got in the pulpit last Wednesday and talked about how that they went through the island where he is at and all these people were getting saved, I can guarantee you he wasn't talking about godly sorrow that works repentance. And that's why we can't support him. Because it's another gospel, and it's corrupted our world. It's corrupted Baptist churches, and as a result, I mean, it's almost come to the place where it's accepted that probably 50% of your people, maybe some more, 70% of it, they're not even saved. Well, that shouldn't be. We should look for some things that evidence salvation before people ever become a member of our church. I mean, what happens is that we're kind of isolated, especially here in Alaska, and all that you know, many of you, is what you've experienced here in this place. But let me tell you something. When you get out and about a little bit, you'll find it's just shocking. I was in a church where people made professions in the service and they run them through the baptistry before the service was over. Well, what did John the Baptist say? I'm chasing a big fat rabbit. What did John the Baptist say? John the Baptist said, bring forth fruits of repentance. He wanted to observe their life and see that there was some fruit that evidenced salvation. And so we're simply saying here that we need to watch what we listen to. And when we're talking about error here, Paul is saying, listen, when it comes to the gospel, if you preach any other gospel than the gospel that I preach, they're accursed. And so, do you want to walk around with somebody who has the curse of God upon their life? Don't you have enough problems without hanging out with cursed people? That's another gospel. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy 6 and verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmising. Strife of words. Well, does that really mean what it says? Well, yeah, it means what it says. When it says they're going to go into everlasting punishment, that's what it means. That means what it says. And people want to argue about words. Perverse, disputing of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness. Joel Osteen is a very godly person because he's a millionaire. Huh? From such withdraw thyself. And so the admonishment is that error from the Word of God needs to be withdrawn from because it's going to affect you. Look over in Romans chapter 16. Romans 16 and verse 17. Now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine. You see, every one of these mentions the teaching of the God's word, and this uses the word contrary to doctrine. If they're causing divisions and offenses, and it's contrary to the word of God, you take your marker over there. Put a big X on their head. You mark them. You mark them in your, you just keep them in your little black book or your little red book or your little, you know, fluorescent red book. Danger. And you mark them. And he says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Pastor Humphrey, we're having a fellowship with all the ministerial alliance over here. We want you to come to the dinner, and we're going to just get a bunch of preachers together in the community, and we're going to eat and discuss our community. And so here I've sat down to a Church of Christ guy, and he's talking about how many people have been converted because he baptized them, and there's a Pentecostal over there, and how they had such a great service. They had 15 women speaking in tongues, and some of them rolling on the floor, could you imagine me in that setting? Only once. Probably would get invited back. But you see, he says, avoid them. What profit is it? Maybe when you met one of them on the street alone, you could challenge them. Their souls too. But when people become teachers, proposing that they're teaching the truth, they become very... I don't know if you get this. Today, you know, Job's wandering around. I've seen him wandering around. Ron's wandering around outside. And of course, it's our security thing. Danger. You know, we'll make sure that nobody's messing around on Plaque Road. Or Plaque Road Baptist Church. But let me tell you something that's more dangerous. That's to tolerate error. Because the guy can come in here and he can take her life. And to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. But error will send a person to hell. We cannot tolerate error. I wish that, you know, it's dangerous. It's absolutely dangerous. And possibly, you know, by us challenging error, you know, this idea about, you know, well, I'll visit your church if you'll visit my church. You know, you've met a friend at school, and they're from a Pentecostal church, and you're wanting them to come over to the Baptist church. And so you say, well, I'll visit your church if you visit my church, and the trade-off there. That's silliness. We need to challenge them and tell them, you know, I can't go there, because this is what God's Word says. And see, in the end, what we want to do, if we're trying to win them, in the end, we want to say, well, listen, here's what the Bible says, the tongues have ceased, that women aren't supposed to speak in church, that if you speak in tongues, they're supposed to be interpreted. And what you're doing here in this place is contrary to the Word of God. I'm not going to argue with you. You can argue with the Word of God. That's where we need to go. But we cannot entertain their error. We cannot entertain for this reason. Number one, God said so. Mark them and avoid them. And why did God say mark them and avoid them? Because I'm trying to tell you this morning, the false teaching is deadly. I think it's hard to grasp that, because we want to be nice. We want to be accepted. Look in 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother. Here a person is a brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which he received of us. And I want you to understand this word tradition. It doesn't mean that, you know, that's our tradition to sing three songs and take up the offering. But it refers to teaching and instruction. And he's simply saying in this verse that if he's walking disorderly, pastor's preached on that a couple of times, and not after the teaching and the instruction which he received of us, that we're to withdraw ourselves from them. How uncompromising should saints be in their censorship? Well, Moses, in the Old Testament, of course, it is Old Testament, but Moses said this, and that a prophet or that a dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage. That a false teacher was to be put to death. 2 Thessalonians says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions, the teachings which ye have been taught. Isaiah says, well, let's go over there, Isaiah 8:20. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, the law and the testimony would refer to the Bible as much as was compiled at that time. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They're walking in darkness. 1 Thessalonians says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Look over in 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And so it's believing that deity, Jesus Christ, the second person of Godhead, came to the world. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And so if any religion teaches that Jesus is the Son of God and not the God, the second person, or if they believe that he's a created being, Mormonism and others, then they're not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You have got little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, and therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Well, if they deny the deity of Jesus Christ, then withdraw yourself from them. Jude 3 says, beloved, we gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. It is needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. All right, back in our text again in Proverbs 19:27. It's very inclusive, isn't it? Cease, my son, to hear instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Any kind of teaching that would encourage you to err from the truth of the Word of God is to be isolated. You see, what people say is they say, well, as long as we believe the cardinal doctrines, we need to cooperate and get along. Well, now this says, cease, my son, to hear instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge, not just the cardinal words, and we understand that there are teachings that are more important than other teachings. But it's all-inclusive. If we just believe the fundamentals, then we ought to be able to get along. And as I said, the Bible indicates that some doctrines are more important than others. But Timothy was told by Paul, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Paul in Ephesus said, wherefore I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which have purchased with his own blood. And we're instructed to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, preach the word. And so there comes a point where the things that God doesn't address, then we're free to have our own opinion. But the things that God does address, we're not free to have our own opinion. And, you can become so isolated that that you might as well dig a hole and pull it in after you. And probably no preacher or no church agrees 100% with another preacher. But you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. And you need to, whatever you believe, you need to stand on the Word of God for it. And you need to draw some lines. I was trying to think of an illustration that passed my mind twice here, but that's what happens to old minds. They don't hold stuff in them. What are some things? Well, if we're going to hear instructions that cause the error from the Word of God, we'll not be able to overlook denominational differences. We'll not be able to ignore the differences of baptism, eternal security, the role of women in churches, speaking in tongues, the issue of what Bible is authoritative, King James or others, how to become a Christian. And so I must censor their words. There are issues that matter. If they're wrong on the deity of Christ, that matters. If they're wrong on the gospel, that matters. If they're wrong on what a New Testament church is, that matters. Look over in 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to, thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so it tells us that the house of God, which is the ecclesia, the local assembly of the living God, is the pillar and the ground of the truth. That God expects Plaquemine Baptist Church to be the column, the pillar, and the foundation of the truth. And if the truth is a big hodgepodge of ideas, and it's okay to believe this or okay to believe that, then you see that I remember my illustration. It keeps passing. It just keeps circling around in there. And sometimes it's, it's kind of like a computer. It keeps reprogramming and it comes back up. If I keep talking, I'll forget it. But you'll say, well, if you're not careful with that idea of censorship and stuff, you're going to become inbred. That you need to consider other ideas. And inbred animals, they begin to have faults that are in the genes that come up, and inbred animals can lose a lot of what they should be. There may be some intelligence lost, could be deformities that come, and there's nothing pretty about deformed animals. They're unique, a calf with two heads, but there's something grotesque about that. And so the cry always goes is, well, if you educate your own men, if you don't send them off to Bible school and you just teach them yourself, that you're going to be inbred. But the other side to that is this. When a man wants to breed a horse that can win the Kentucky Derby, he becomes a thoroughbred. The CVs have learned that they can take certain dogs and they can begin to breed them together, and they're being inbred, but they're being bred to be winners of the Yukon Quest and the Race to Nome by Iditarod. And so thoroughbreds are much different than inbreds. And God would have us to be thoroughly right on the Word of God. And we ought to teach people who can think for themselves, can take the Word of God and discern for themselves, and that they would know truth from error. And so some issues matter. The gospel, the church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. And so let me just speak to you. What time is it? One after. Okay, that gives me 10 more minutes. We have among us today in Christianity new evangelicals. And new evangelicals, you can turn on the radio, and I listen to the radio when I'm working for food bank, and there's a lot of good preaching from new evangelicals. John MacArthur has a lot of good preaching, and he's probably not as bad as some new evangelicals, but you can listen to new evangelicals, and they preach a good gospel message. They have some good things about, you know, personally living for the Lord. And you begin to hear them and listen to them and enjoy them, but the problem with them is this. It's not so much what they're preaching, but it's what they refuse to preach about. Are you with me? They don't cover the issues. They cover those smooth things. They're not like our pastor that gets up here. I get a kick out of him. And he gets up here and he thinks he's really laid into us. And he says, you know, I just want you to know it's not easy for me to preach these hard things, but you need to hear them. Well, be thankful for a pastor that doesn't just preach the smooth things. And that's the problem with new evangelicals. And you need to watch and understand that there's some error underlining the smooth stuff. And so the Bible simply says in our proverb that you need to be sincere about what you allow yourself to hear. Because wrong, I'm going to say it again in probably a different way, but wrong thinking concerning Scripture always brings sinful behavior. Always. We got to be right on what we believe. Okay? You're dismissed with